Mark 1, verses 21 and 22. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. One day in the life of Christ, one Sabbath day, one message, one man who spoke with authority, and then the people were astonished. Astonished, to be stricken as by a blow, to be dumbfounded, to be absolutely amazed. These people in synagogue that day were left with their mouths hanging wide open. We're told that Christ spoke as one having authority. He spoke as a man who knew what he was talking about. The scribes could only quote one another. In the synagogue, you would go to the synagogue, they would read from the law and from the prophets, you would sit down, and then the rabbi that was in charge of the synagogue would sit down, and then he would say, well, Rabbi Shlomo said, and Rabbi Yitzhak said, and Rabbi Yaakov said, and they would go through all these different rabbis. And it was said that synagogue was dry and dusty. We got to go there again. We got to punch our card. The scribes quoting one another. And then here comes Christ. He comes to the synagogue and he's speaking with power and authority and understanding. The scribes, they majored on trivial things. You remember Christ said, you've taken the traditions of men and turned it into the commandments of God. They majored on trivial things. They elevated the traditions of men above the word of God. You don't put your traditions and your systems on top of the word of God. You put the word of God on top of everything else. Jesus spoke of weighty matters. And Christ had scathing words for the scribes and the Pharisees. Turn to Matthew 23. And you'll see the difference in Christ's preaching. Vast difference. Matthew 23:23-28. You can see why some people were mad at him. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the Lord, justice and mercy and faith. As we saw this morning in our Bible study, the woman caught in adultery. The law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You commit adultery, we stone you to death. And yet here's Jesus Christ telling her, go your own way, I'm forgiving you your sins. Showing the woman mercy. Having neglected the weightier matters of the law, these things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strain out a gnat, you swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Those flames, those eyes of fire in the book of Revelation look right into your heart. He knows exactly what is in your heart. But the Pharisees, they looked good on the outside. They had all their gear on. Blind Pharisees. First cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and hypocrites, Pharisees, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed they appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. See, you can look good And you can be as wicked as a devil in your heart. But you can look good. You can look good and play a role. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You talk about getting a few people upset at the synagogue, especially the scribe that was sitting up there. Christ spoke with authority. Jesus, though, spoke of weighty matters. He spoke of life and death, heaven and hell, death and eternity. The weighty matters of life. When the people heard Christ preach, they knew they were hearing words of eternal value. Words of eternal value. The scribes, they rambled on and on, quoting one another. Never saying anything of any importance. Christ quoted the word of God. He then explained the word of God. And then he applied the word of God. And Christ used vivid illustrations and crystal clear word pictures to illuminate his teaching. Everybody got what Christ was teaching. That's why they conspired to kill him. They knew exactly what Christ was talking about. The scribes did not care about the people. The scribes cared about themselves. They were hirelings. They were for hire. They used the people for their own profit and for their own advantage. Look at Mark 12. Like I said, you're going to see two different sides of Christ preaching. Mark 12, 38 to 40. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware the scribes. I used to have a Rottweiler. There was a sign on my door. Beware of dog. If you went in my backyard, there was a Rottweiler there." Well, you were warned. Christ is warning us. Beware the scribes. They desire to go around in long robes. They got the look. They love greetings in the marketplace. Christ told you. Don't call people rabbis. Don't call people teachers. And you got people, right, reverend, most holy to the second degree, the third degree. The Lord says, don't do that. They love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogues, the best places of feast. And they devour widows' houses. The ones that you should be most sympathetic for are widow and little children. Here's the religious people looking all so good, like they knew God Almighty. For a pretense, they devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, they make long prayers. As we saw as the person in the text this morning, I was opposite the tax collector. He stood there, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not an extortioner." And the person that wanted God's mercy beat on his chest, wouldn't even lift up his eyes. "God, have mercy on me, the sinner." You see the sharp rebukes that the Lord has? The hireling, most religious people that are hirelings, they don't care about you. They care about what you put in the basket. They care about beating you down into submission to them and lording it over you. But Christ, though, was a lover of people. Why do you think the tax collectors and the adulterers and the whoremongers and everybody else came to him? They knew he was different than those Pharisees and them scribes. Christ, when he preached, he used the word as a sharp sword. As you just heard when I was reading the way he spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees. When a message is preached in truth and power, God will use it for his glory. He will convict those that need to be convicted, and he will comfort those that need to be comforted, as we're going to see momentarily about Christ. Mark 1:22 tells us that the people were astonished at his teaching or doctrine. It left them speechless and amazed. There's basically three kinds of preachers. Ones you can't listen to, and ones, well, I gotta listen to them. and ones you absolutely got to listen to. And Christ was one of those preachers. They had to listen to him. Christ spoke with authority because he was anointed by the Spirit of God. Why do you think he was filled with the Holy Spirit? Christ became a man that had to live this perfect, sinless life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And them scribes, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. And here comes Christ, full of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, people are astonished. They're amazed. They're like, what's going on here? Christ speaking with authority. Look at Luke 4. Gives us a little insight into the message that Christ preached. Now here's the message that he preaches to the brokenhearted, to those that are humble, to those that don't have their heads lifted up in the air, that think that they're somebody. If you think you're somebody, he's going to preach to you like a scribe and a Pharisee, the way he preached to them. Now if you're on this side of the fence, that was a beautiful segue this morning, brother, by the way. If you want to be like the one person, the proud man in that parable, Christ will speak rebuke to you about your pride. But if you come humbly like the tax collector, then he has a different message for you. And this message was not in any synagogue, nor in the hearts and minds of any preacher. Luke 4, 21. Luke 4, 16 to 21. So he came to Nazareth. So imagine, he went home. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and realize this, it's not necessarily a book as you read it here. It was written on a scroll. The scroll was opened. It was a continual thing. The scroll was open. He opens the book. He finds the place where it's written in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue was fixed on him. They knew, every Jew there in that synagogue knew what Christ was claiming. That's the Messiah spoken of in Isaiah. Notice what he preached. First of all, now I'm going to show you the contrast. I read you the way he preached to scribes and Pharisees, to religious people. He preached the gospel to the poor. That's not necessarily the poor in money. He preached the gospel to the poor, not only those that are destitute of wealth and power, lacking and needy, but those who are poor spiritually. Are you brokenhearted? Are you brokenhearted? Those that realize, Lord, I'm done without you. I have nothing without you. Apart from you, I am damned. I am doomed. I deserve the wrath of God. That's what it means about the poor. Those that realize they're poor spiritually. That was the contrast between the proud Pharisees and the tax collector. The proud man got his head up in the air. Oh Lord, I thank you, I'm not this, and I ain't like that person over there. And the tax collector basically said, I'm worse than anybody, I'm the chief of sinners. Christ came to preach the gospel to the poor, spiritually poor. He came to save souls. They didn't know nothing about saving souls. Nicodemus is asking Christ, what do you mean born again? I'm going back in my mother's womb. They didn't have a clue. Christ comes preaching to the poor, comes to save souls, to change lives. What about the story about the demoniac? Chained up in the graveyard, possessed by a legion of demons. And Christ delivers him, saves his soul. You think that demoniac loved Christ much? He was hopeless, absolutely hopeless. And Christ came and he brings hope to the hopeless. Are you here today and you're hopeless? There's hope for you. He comes, he brings life to the lifeless. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. Turn to Ephesians 2. This was your condition before you came to Christ, and if you never come to Christ, this is your condition. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you he made alive. You were dead in your sins and trespasses, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You were born a child of wrath. You were under the wrath of God because of the sin of Adam. And then you were under the wrath of God because of your own sins. But God, have you met God? But God, who is rich in mercy. Do you know God who is rich in mercy? Or you think, even if you're a child of God, well, he's kind of like, you know, got a little quarter of a teaspoon just kind of giving you a little bit of mercy. He's rich in mercy because of what? His great love with which he loved us. Do you understand if you are a child of God, that God Almighty loves you with a great love? Not just, you know, he kind of puts up with me. I'm kind of like Cinderella or something like that. Waiting for the Messiah came. Cinderella, there's good news. A great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. When you couldn't do nothing for him. And even now, any good you do, you do it because of the grace of Almighty God. Even when you're dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Raised us up together and made us. He had to make you sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that for this reason, this is the reason why God does what he does. So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Do you know of the exceeding riches of Christ? Do you know the exceeding riches of his grace towards you? The exceeding riches. Not a little thimbleful. Maybe I get a couple of sprinkles or like it's salt or something. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. And notice what it said there. In the ages to come. Not just this world. In the ages to come. Preaching the gospel to the poor. Notice next, go back to Luke. What's he say? Who did he preach to? He preached deliverance to the captives. To the captives. Literally means this. Those who are held at spear point. You were a criminal. You were a Jew. The Roman soldier had the spear right up against your chest. That's what it means. You were captive. Those held at spear point. Those captured by the enemy awaiting execution. See, these are the people that Christ came for the poor. Those that realize, man, I am a captive. I am a captive to my sin, to my lust, to my wickedness. I need to be delivered. I need to be delivered. You were held at spear point by Satan. All your wickedness, he had it right in your chest, the spear. And the moment you died, it went through the rest of the way. For the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Health. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. How would you have felt? If the Roman soldier had you guilty, he was going to run you through with that spear. And then Christ came and delivered you from that. That's what it is spiritually. The images of those who have been captured by the enemy and they're slated for execution. People held captive in the grip of sin. I'll remind you once again, because people usually just don't get this the first time around, nor the 100th time. Look at Romans 3. This was your condition. But most people, they don't believe it. Romans 3, verses 10 through 13. That's what I'm saying. You were held by sin at spear point. Because this was your condition. None righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 10 to 13. None righteous, not one, no, not one. None who understands, none who seeks after God. Everybody's turned aside. They've altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. That's the condition of every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever been born. That's your condition. And the spear is right there in your chest, just waiting to plunge you through at the moment of death. Christ came preaching deliverance. He didn't come preaching, I'm going to teach you how to clean up your life a little bit. I'm going to teach you how to straighten out your marriage, straighten out your kids, straighten everything out. And not that some of those things don't happen. But that's not the main reason he came. Notice also, while you're in Romans, look at 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. When you're an unbeliever, you have a heart of stone. You're at enmity with God. You're an enemy of God. That's what it means. The carnal mind is at enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It hears it, but it ignores it. It runs from it. That's our condition. And all in those conditions, in that condition who does not come to Christ, this is what awaits them. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. For all of those who do not repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you hear it today, there's freedom for the captives, there's deliverance for the captives, it's for those that are spiritually poor, those that have ears, those who the Lord is drawing, and those who reject it. This is what is awaiting. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. And Jesus Christ comes telling the people, listen, the kingdom of God is here, repent and believe. This is your true condition apart from Christ. The good news is I came to seek and save sinners. But you have to see yourself as a sinner first. That's the purpose of the law. To drive you to Christ. Yes. Drive you to Christ. And then you obey the gospel. Those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ promised deliverance to those in that condition. The word deliverance means to release from bondage or imprisonment. That's what he came to do. Deliverance. You've been released from bondage. Thank God I'm free. Free at last. You were chained. So many people's lives. Stone cold junkies on the streets of New York. The Lord Almighty takes them and turns them into godly men and women. It wasn't from Rabbi Yitzhak said and Rabbi Abraham said and Rabbi so-and-so. Or today we say Dr. So-and-so or Reverend so-and-so or Monsignor so-and-so. Christ changes lives. And those people that day, man, they were like, huh? They were left with their mouths open. And have you ever, I hate to use the word experience, but let me use the word experience, because I am an experiential preacher. Do you know that? Do you know of that deliverance that I'm speaking of? Do you know that you've been set free? Do you know that he's raised you from the dead? It also says in our text in the book that he opened blind eyes. What do you think that song is? I once was blind, but now I see. You were blind. As my wife said to me many times, well, what can a blind person see? Nothing. You were blind. My wife likes to keep things real simple, so I can understand them. Christ opened blind eyes. He opened the eyes of the physically blind, but more importantly, he opened the eyes of the spiritually blind. You can be as blind as a bat, but you better have your spiritual eyes open. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is the Christ that I speak of. This is the glorious Savior that I proclaim. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has, notice, blinded. Apart from Christ, you are blind. You can have enough wisdom, enough knowledge as to send somebody to Mars and be as spiritually dead as a 5-year-old little kid that's been regenerated. Spiritually blind, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, who didn't count it robbery to be equal with God. He's God. That's why he could tell the woman caught in adultery, go your way, your sins are forgiven you. I'm the one that wrote those commandments. I'm Lord of the law. Christ promises deliverance, opens blind eyes, sets the captives free. He also sets at liberty those that are bruised, broken, shattered, and beat down. Are you bruised, broken, shattered, beat down? The good news is Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. Amen. To set those that are liberty. To set those at liberty that have been chained. I've been in a jail cell before. And I know what it's like when they shut that cell door. And I also know what it's like when I open that cell door. And that's what he's talking about. He sets those at liberty, beat up, bruised, broken down, shattered by the effects of sin. Those who have known the devastation, the destructiveness, and desperation of sin. Those whose sin has absolutely overwhelmed them. Lastly, Christ came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You can be saved today from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. Where do you find yourself today in this message? That's why the people were astonished. That's why his fame went out through all the world. Here was a man who was preaching like he knew what he was talking about. He wasn't like the scribes. He wasn't like the Pharisees. He simply proclaimed the word of God in all of its glory. And the people were amazed and astonished. And the thing is that Jesus Christ actually loved the people that he was preaching to. You know the shortest verse in the scripture? Jesus wept. Does that man you sit under weep for you? Is he willing to lay down his life for you? That's the difference between a hireling and a shepherd. Christ cared about the people. Yitzhak Avraham, he was waiting for his next paycheck. But the people knew that Christ loved them. Why do you think the ragtag bunch of people that followed him, what a motley crew that was? And still today, including myself, the motleyest of the crew. Christ loved the people. He was preaching that. Here was a man preaching a message of life, liberty, and hope. And that's why the people were amazed. They were like, what kind of rabbi is this? I never heard this from no rabbi before. And the message is the same today, 2,000 years later. I'm not bringing you no different message than Christ brought to that synagogue that day. It's the same exact message. I'm simply expanding a little bit on what Christ said. And that is why the people were astonished and they were amazed. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they hated him. They hated him. Because he upset their little employment. He was telling them, listen, you're fired. They didn't like that too much. He exposed them. People don't like to have their sins exposed. Just like Adam and Eve. They sinned, what they do. They're running for cover. And we're the same way. When you're involved in sin, what do? You run for cover. But the good news is Christ came to set the captives free. He opened the blind eyes. Sets the captives free. What a glorious gospel. And they were astonished at his teaching. And Father, I would pray that each and every one of us would be astonished at the teaching of our Savior, Jesus Christ.